Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top 6 tips for riding Kilimanjaro safaris. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 49 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of November 29th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please hang on until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. The story goes that Walt Disney himself wanted to have live animals in the Jungle Cruise attraction in Disneyland, but for many reasons, including the fact that tigers can actually swim and could possibly get at the boats with the guests, the park installed animatronic animals instead. Still, like most good ideas at Disney, those good ideas eventually get recycled, and in 1998, Kilimanjaro Safaris, complete with live animals, opened at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Over time, Disney has changed the ending of the attraction, removing Big Red and adding some rows to the safari vehicles. They've also changed some of the animals on display. And today we're going to take a look at the top 6 tips for riding Kilimanjaro safaris. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who looks right at home with binoculars around his neck and a big brim safari hat on his head, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Yes on the hat. Actually, no on the binoculars. Not a big fan.
Really? I just have it in my head that you've got binoculars around your neck. I don't know. That's just...
You know, we bring them sometimes, and I look through them, and I just never like the view of, like, it's weird to me. I don't know.
I can understand that.
But I do love a good hat, so I'm all over that one.
Yeah, me too. Whatever I can do to protect my fair skin from the sun, I am all about that, and the bigger the brim, the better. Okay, we're going to talk about Kilimanjaro safaris today, but as usual, we've got the much-appreciated warm-up question, and today we're going to talk about the Citizens of Hollywood, which put on skits from people from the turn-of-the-century Hollywood, the 30s and the 40s, versus the Citizens of Main Street, so the mayor and the suffrage ladies. So the warm-up question for you, Aaron, is Citizens of Hollywood or Citizens of Main Street?
You know, they're both really cool, and they both really help sell the era and the story that the parks want to tell. I'm going to give it to the Citizens of Hollywood. And in part because they do more of a skit. It's much more interactive with the guests, where they stop and they set up shop. They've got a little truck, and they put on a show, and they ask... It's all improvised, so they'll ask for audience suggestions, and they'll perform things out, and it really becomes this whole big thing for several minutes on the street, and they're all in these early Hollywood era characters, which I just think is fun, and I think it adds some flavor to the park. I think it really sells the old time Hollywood story that Disney's trying to tell. On a personal note. One of the Citizens of Hollywood is a friend of mine I went to college with, so it gets a little bit of an edge on that as well. So I'm going to go with Citizens of Hollywood.
Wow, you actually know a Citizen of Hollywood. That is cool.
I do.
Wow. All right. We're going to talk about that offline because I want to get the inside scoop there. So. That's very interesting. So I always make jokes that someday I want to be the mayor of Main Street, USA, and I figure I'm going to have to run for some sort of office at the Reedy Creek Improvement District. I enjoy the Citizens of Main Street. Like you say, they're more free roaming, so the mayor will stop and take photos with you. The ladies who are petitioning for suffrage, the women's right to vote, will stop and speak with you. And actually, I've seen them sort of having fun before parades, joking with the guests. But the Citizens of Main Street are much more unstructured, I would say. The Citizens of Hollywood, just like you mentioned, put on something of a skit. It's somewhat scripted. It's also brings in ideas from the audience. It pulls people in, more of a presented show. And while citizens of Main Street, and especially the mayor, I love you, I would also have to vote for the citizens of Hollywood. I just like that era. I like the fact that they put on something of a show and they involve people in it. It's interactive. It's fun. And a lot of the citizens of Hollywood are very over the top. They really play their stereotype from that era of Hollywood to a T, whether it's the director or the starlet or one of the people who's trying to break into show business, helping out. The characters are just a lot of fun.
Yeah, they do some really funny stuff, and like you said, the base is scripted, and they bring in a lot of improvisational aspects to it. And it really is, I think, just, you know, it's part of the park. It's, you know, the park, especially early on, had a lot of live performance in it, and I think it really does help tell the story. And I know the park has gone through a lot of changes lately, but it is cool that that's still an important aspect of it.
Yeah, I agree. I truly hope that's one of the things that sticks around, because it does take you back to that time and place of classic Hollywood and some of the characters that you would think about roaming Hollywood at that time in history. So, okay, good one. So, today's topic, top six tips for riding Kilimanjaro safaris heading back over to Disney's Animal Kingdom. And Aaron, we are over to you for number one.
So my first one is based really on my personal experiences with the attraction, and obviously somebody who's something different and have a much different experience. That's actually one of the cool things about the attraction, is that every ride is different, because obviously the animals aren't trained to pop out whenever one of the vehicles goes by. They're either out or they're not. They're either active or they're sleeping. Anything can happen. You can ride it three times over the course of a day and see different animals on every ride. However, in my experience, I have found personally more animals out and about early in the day, before the Florida heat kicks in and it gets to be sunny and hot. And some of the animals either just fall asleep in the sun or go hide in a shady area. So last time I was there, I actually went, around 10 o'clock in the morning. It was fairly early yet. It was a nice, cool February morning. And we actually saw quite a few animals. My previous trip out there, we had gone later in the day and didn't see as much. And it could be luck of the draw. It could be the weather. It could be the time of day. But in my experiences, earlier is a little better. But like I said, you get something different every time. So, you know, no matter when you do it, you're going to see something and it's going to be really cool.
This is a good point. And I've heard a lot of theories about this, that the morning is better, maybe the end of the day is better. And my experience has been like yours. I tend to have a better experience when I go early in the morning. It seems like there's more activity in the savannah. But you also raise a really good point that this is a completely different ride every time. The animals have a lot of room to roam. They may be near, they may be far, they may be active, they may be sleeping. It's really hard to say. So if I were going to plan my vacation and my day at Disney's Animal Kingdom, personally, I would set up my time to ride Kilimanjaro Safaris early in the day, because I've had the best experience in doing that. But it's always hard to tell, because it's different every time. So something to think about, although I'm not sure there's really one right answer, but I guess you're getting two votes here for riding earlier.
And they are saying that, I believe it's being implemented next year, they're actually adding rides later in the day. Now, usually the whole park closes fairly early, just because they don't want the animals, you know, to tire themselves out. So the park tends to close well before the other parks. And that ride tends to close fairly early. They're actually adding later rides, and they're going to be doing, it's called the Sunset Safari. They're actually going to be installing orange lights along the track. So as you're riding, it looks like it's, you know, sunset on the Serengeti, essentially. And they're adding hyenas and wild dogs into the attraction as well. So it's entirely possible that the evening is going to become the best time, because now it's cooler and a little darker. But as of right now, I'm saying early is better.
Yeah. It will be very interesting to see how that's going to change the attraction. So how are they going to get that lighting out there? And I'm I can't really imagine it in my head right now, but I'm pretty sure that the way Disney's going to do it is going to be really effective. I think it's going to be interesting to see the new animals that come. I think it will be interesting to see which animals maybe stay off of the safari in the evening hours, and are there some others that will be able to hang around longer? It's going to be very interesting to watch, and may well change the best time of day. But I agree with you. So as of now, which is late 2015, when we don't yet have the nighttime safari in place, probably the morning is the time to go. But stay tuned. It'll be interesting to see how this changes.
Right.
Okay. That was number one, plan for the best time of day. Number two is over to me. So my tip is to use FastPass Plus. I think there's something interesting about Kilimanjaro safaris in that the queue is very deep, I would say, and it's not always easy to see if there are a lot of people waiting in line. Of course, they have the wait time posted, but there are a lot of attractions where you can get at least some sense of what's going on in the queue because you can see a portion of it. When it comes to Kilimanjaro safaris, for the most part, you don't see a lot of the queue. It goes back away from you as opposed to maybe left to right. So I would recommend definitely spending a FastPass Plus for the Kilimanjaro safaris. Again, preference would be early in the day because Kilimanjaro safaris, it's really a signature item in this park. If you're going to Disney's Animal Kingdom, especially for a first time, you absolutely will want to ride Kilimanjaro safaris. And I think it's a must do each time you go. Like we said, that you're going to get a different experience every time. But save some of that waiting in line, especially since you may not be able to see the line, and get your FastPass Plus reservation for this attraction.
That's a good point. And it's important to note that while from a decorative standpoint, the queue is cool, there's no interactive elements like you'd find on some of the attractions over at Magic Kingdom. So you're really not gaining anything by seeing the line.
Yeah.
So definitely the FastPass Plus is very recommended.
Yeah.
And because it's a popular attraction, Animal Kingdom, you're going to want to go for that one fairly early on in your ability to do so. So once you make your reservations, they'll tell you when you can start making your FastPasses. And I would do that one pretty early on.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, good. That was number two. Use FastPass Plus. Number three, back over to you.
So one thing people don't I know there's signs up that will indicate this. The ride's pretty bumpy. You're in these tram kind of vehicles, multi-car trams, bouncing across dirt roads and over bridges and the little chain separator things they use to keep the animals in place, like in their respective habitats. It's not a rough ride like a roller coaster, like a thrill ride, but it's bumpy. Imagine driving your car over, you know, a rocky dirt road, and you've got a bit of an idea as to what it's going to feel like. And the seats are just tram-style seats. They're not super well padded. It can be a little rough on people if you've got some body issues. I have ridden with people that have, one friend I went with had just, you know, recently had knee surgery. Another one had, you know, some back issues. And they were feeling it after they got off the attraction. So it's something I don't think people would necessarily think about. I think when you think about a Disney ride, unless it's labeled as a thrill ride, you think it's going to be nice, smooth, you get in a car and go around a track. And because this is going out into the animals' habitats, that's not the case. So it is a little rougher. It is much more like a riding through this habitat situation. So if you've got some serious body issues or someone in your party has, you know, they're prone to get sore, you may want to take that into account and either ask a cast member for their suggestions or ride it first and see if they're going to be okay with it.
Hmm. Yeah, this is a good point. And it is very true. This ride is bumpy. So as the vehicle goes through the savannas and the different habitats, it's going to hit potholes. It's going to make sharp turns. It's going to speed up and slow down. And this is not like gliding through the Haunted Mansion. This is something where you're going to get jostled around a little bit. And so if you have back issues, if you recently had a surgery, I think you make a great point. You shouldn't just assume that this is a smooth glide through this attraction. You're going to get jostled around a little bit. And for some people, that's just not going to be something that makes sense for them.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's a great attraction, but obviously it's something you do want to take into account, and you don't want to ruin your day by, you know, especially early on, by suddenly doing something that's going to hurt yourself.
Right. Good. Number three, the ride is bumpy, and it definitely is. Okay, number four is back over to me. So there's an interesting design element in the Safari vehicles in that there are animal photo identification charts that are posted overhead. And so if you are interested in finding out the proper names of the different animals you're going to see, those charts are the way to help you out. The charts are a little bit on the small side, I would say. And so a tip that I've got for riding Kilimanjaro safaris is to take a photo of the animal identification charts with your phone so that you can hold that chart a little bit closer and zoom in on it. So that way, if you're interested in finding out the names of the animals that you see along the way, it's going to be easier to do it, especially because, like we mentioned in number three, the ride is bumpy. It's not always so easy to read those charts when they're up and further away from you. So if you take a photo while everyone is getting loaded of the chart, you can have closer access to it. You can zoom in on it, and it may help you be able to identify what animals you're seeing along the way.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mean, you know, my eyes aren't great. I wear pretty heavy prescription on my glasses, so I can never see those if I'm more than, you know, a couple rows away.
Yeah, and I think the photos or the drawings of the animals, you know, I can kind of make those out, but sometimes it's hard to see the detail. And for me, seeing the writing is just not going to happen. The writing is too small and too far away. Okay, good. That was number four. So number five, Aaron, back to you.
And this kind of plays into that a little bit, where, yeah, you've got your animal identification chart, but the drivers do have a ton of information. They do have a script, which they're going off of to a point, but in my experience, they've got some leeway to go off of that script, and in part because, as we've said before, the ride's different every time, and they may have a great script about the lions, and you may turn the corner, and there's no lions there at that point in time. So I've definitely ridden at different times and had different drivers, with different degrees of knowledge to branch off on their own with, but, they're definitely going to tell you what you're seeing. They're definitely going to give you information about the animals that you're seeing. And if you're sitting close to them, you can definitely ask questions. You know, they'll either answer them right to you, or they'll say, hey, we have a question, you know, they'll say it on the mic and let everyone know what the answer is. They tend to know their stuff, so don't be afraid to ask. But even if you can't see the animal identification chart, even if you can't see, you know, can't take a picture of it and keep track of it, they're going to tell you and they're going to point things out to you and say that, hey, over on the left, we've got, you know, these animals, and hey, here's information about the animals. It really is very fluid, and they really do have a lot of information. So you're not just looking at the animals, you're learning about them, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a number of interesting points that you're making. So one is that I think the drivers have to be pretty skilled, not just in navigating this big vehicle, but in thinking on the fly, because as you say, they may take a turn and an animal that they are expecting to be in a certain area might not be there, just because that's how the attraction is set up. And my experience has been the same as yours, that the drivers are very good at spotting the animals and identifying them and talking about them. And they really do seem to be very knowledgeable because they do this day in and day out. So if you're sitting close to the driver, I would say if they're not occupied doing a maneuver, definitely stop and ask them a question. Now, if you're sitting in the back, that's not so easy to do. But if you happen to be in the first row or two, and you have a question, I would say fire it off. And if the driver can answer, they probably will.
Yeah. And, you know, if you do have questions later on, find another cast member when you're off the ride, because they tend to know their stuff. And if not, they'll find someone who does.
Yeah. Good one. Okay, number five. Feel free to ask the drivers questions. Number six, our last item, is back over to me. So this may or may not work for your traveling party, but it is something to think about. So a number of times I've been on Kilimanjaro safaris, and a well-intentioned person will say, hey, look, there's an okapi over there. And And the little kid that they're with is like, where? I don't see it. Where's the copy? I'm saying that name right. But and then the vehicle's moving on. Like, where's the copy? I can't see it. I'm looking for it. I can't see it. And then they're fixated on the fact that they didn't get to see something. So number six for me is going to be consider not pointing out the animals for other people. Allow people to see what they see and experience and enjoy the ride as they do it. And not be so focused about what they're not seeing and be disappointed about something that they missed. The ride is different every time. Some animals are really well hidden. Others are going to be pretty close. Some people maybe can see those things, some can't. And depending on the people in your party, you may just want to let everyone have their own chance to experience it as they do. And don't worry about making sure that everyone sees everything every time, because some people are not going to see those things, and then they may be disappointed or fixated on what they missed, as opposed to just enjoying the moment and then looking forward to what comes next.
That's interesting. And it's not necessarily just your own party, too. Obviously, you're sitting in a tram with other people. And so there's, you know, obviously the common courtesy as well of if you see the line you're pointing it out. You know, on the one hand, you obviously want to point it out because you want people to have the opportunity to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we go by and I see the rhino, you know, I want to let my wife know, oh, hey, look, there's a rhino. You know, which could then maybe encourage people within my ear, you know, who heard me to look, oh, hey, and we're going to see the rhino and everyone's happy. But you're right. There is a balance, too, whereas I see the rhino, I'm like, look, the rhino, and other people don't see it. And, I mean, it's hard to miss a rhino. It's a terrible example. But it's absolutely a good point where you want to be considerate to the people in your party and the people around you. You know, and they do explain in, you know, when you get started that you may not see everything, that it's going to be different every time. And also, you know, and the other aspect of that, too, is if there's something over on the left side of the tram, for example, you know, you don't necessarily want to crowd to the point where you're blocking other people's views. So there definitely is that aspect of common courtesy to other people to let everyone have the opportunity to see things at their own pace, the way they're going to see them, and not be disappointed.
Yeah, that is a really good point, too. So there will be times when the people on the left are going to have a great view of something, and the people on the right just are not going to be able to see it as well. So that, I guess, is a good reason to go back and ride again. It will be different every time. You'll be in a different spot. The animals will be in different places. You're going to have different experiences. And you may not get it all in the first time, and that's okay. That's part of the joy of being able to go on multiple safaris.
Yeah, and the fact is, I mean, I've been on this ride multiple times, and I've never been disappointed. And sure, there's times I haven't seen the lions, and, you know, gee, I like seeing the lions, or something else. But every time I've seen something really cool, whether it be giraffe, they've actually had to stop the tram because of the giraffes crossing in front of us. We had to wait for them to go by. The first time I went on it, the warthog was kind of hiding back in its little cave and couldn't see very well. And the next time, you know, at a different point in time, it was right there and you could see it very clearly. And so it really is. You won't see everything, but you're still going to see some really cool animals.
That is a very good point, and I'm glad that you brought that out because, you may not see everything, but you will see something. There is a lot to see on this attraction, and I think it's designed, so you're definitely going to be seeing something along the way, and so don't freak out if you miss one thing because there's something coming up, and you'll get to check that out too. Okay, good. So we've made it through the top six tips for riding Kilimanjaro Safaris. Number one, plan for the best time of day. Number two, use FastPass Plus. Number three, the ride is bumpy. Number four, take a photo of the animal identification chart. Number five, ask the driver questions. And six, consider not pointing out the animals, but let people just experience the attraction along the way. All right, good list, Aaron. So if people are interested in finding out more about what you're up to, how can they find out about that?
They can head on over to my website, which is Magic and Misadventures. That is magicandmisadventures.com. And it's basically a blog about all things Disney, primarily Walt Disney World. I do occasionally branch into other aspects of the Disney company. And that's everything from travel advice to ranting about things, observations, to do-it-yourself tips. Really, it's all over the map, but it's always, I think it's always fun stuff.
I would second that. I think it's fun too. I love your writing style. You always have a fun take on things and a lot of interesting ideas to share. So magicandmisadventures.com, it's a site that I really enjoy. All right, Aaron, this was a fun list. Actually, I think I learned a few things about Kilimanjaro safaris along the way. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, now I want to go ride it.
Me too. Let's go. Today, we head out to the music of the Oasis section of Disney's Animal Kingdom. And while we've made it through the list of the top 6 tips for riding Kilimanjaro safaris, our conversation isn't over. I would love to hear what you think about our list. Stop by the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/49 and leave your comments. That's a page that works well on desktops, smartphones, and tablets. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch, like John, who recently wrote on the website, "Another great article, sir. Keep them coming." Thanks, John. I would love to hear from you, too. It's easy to get in touch with me, let me know what you think, or just stop by and say hello. You can send an email to me at info@worldofwalt.com. You can leave a voicemail message at 407-391-5023. I may play it on the air. Leave an online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail, or check me out on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt or pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would tell your family and friends about it. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the people who listen to this podcast and visit the show notes page. Again, head over to that page at worldofwalt.com/49, and there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. To wrap up for today, I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.